Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-943-1356. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-943-1356. That's 1-800-943-1356.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Boy, today we have a fascinating show. But before we get into it, I'd like to introduce my co-producer, Joe Caruso, who's on the air with me. Joe, how are you today?
Fantastic, Paul. How are you feeling? Your voice was out. Are you back?
Yes, I am back. I've been doing sales training this week for a franchise client up in Dallas, and so I've been speaking all week, and I'm sure I'll have no problem getting through the show, unlike last week. That was really difficult. You know, here we are with starting our third season on Franchise Today, and I know you already have a packed lineup. Today we have Lon Safko, the author of the Social Media Bible, and I know you got two other shows coming up on next Thursday and the following Thursday. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about them?
Well, next week we have John Gordon from Pacific Management Consulting Group, and John has been in restaurant franchising his entire career, and he's been in QSR, he's been in casual dining, and he advises private equity firms, franchisors on M&A activity. He works with franchisees, and we were just talking today about what we're going to have on for the show this next week, and I seem to have lost my title we just came up with. Paul, I just sent it to you. Do you have it in front of you?
Let me see. Yes, I do. It'll be QSR Franchise Unit Economics and Profitability, How to Be a Winner Restaurant Franchisor. Sounds like an interesting topic.
Wow, and he's got a wealth of knowledge. I mean, he knows a lot of the inner workings of earnings and stuff that's not necessarily in a 10K, not necessarily in an Item 19 financial performance representation. And he has some very strong opinions on what should be there and what franchisors should be doing to enhance profitability for franchisees, and also in terms of what they should be, information that they should be collecting and distributing to franchisees and to prospective franchisees. So we've got a terrific show.
I'm definitely looking forward to that, yes, for sure.
And then the following week we have Ben Letalian, and Ben teaches at Georgetown University. He consults in with franchisors, and he's been a president and director and vice president of various franchise companies, and he's going to talk about social franchising, why it makes sense for franchisors to franchise with nonprofits, and how it can be good for their bottom line, and also how it can be good for the communities and consumers that franchisors market to.
Well, that sounds like an interesting show as well. Definitely look forward to it, and look forward to speaking with you and them at that time as well. You know, coming up next week, we have the Franchise Social Media Summit 2011, something that I co-founded with Elements local CEO Jeremy LeDuc. We've been planning it for about 3 months. We have a great speaker lineup for the event. Joe, you're on it. John Carlston, BJ Emerson, Jack Monson, David Murray, Lee Plays, Nick Powells, and Deborah Vilkas. Last week we had on Franchise Today, some of the speakers were on giving some of their insight and perspective, which leads us into today's Franchise Today show, because our keynote speaker is Lon Safko. Lon is a remarkably creative person. reading his bio, he's the creator of the first computer to save a human life, as coined by Steve Jobs of Apple Computer. And that computer, along with 18 other inventions and more than 30,000 of Lon's papers, are in the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. He's created numerous hardware and software solutions for the physically challenged. He developed the first CAD software for civil engineers, designed the archetype for Apple Newton and Microsoft's Bob operating systems. And he's also the one responsible for those handy little tooltips, help balloon pop-ups. Lon is the founder of 14 successful companies, including Paper Models, Inc., which developed three-dimensional internet advertising and virtual electronic retailing, VE-tailing, for business, promotions, and education, for which Lon holds three patents. He's been recognized by numerous publications, including Entrepreneur Magazine. Really a fascinating individual. But as we were talking about the Franchise Social Media Summit, looking for an individual that we felt would best personify social media and where it's been and where it's going, I immediately thought of Lon, because Lon is the author of the remarkable social media Bible, which hit number one on the Amazon in both their marketing and business category. Really a fascinating book, and I'm really honored to have Lon as our keynote speaker on the Franchise Social Media Summit, and definitely honored to have Lon on today's show. Lon, welcome to Franchise Today.
Hey, guys, that was a heck of an intro, but I'm sorry, we're now out of time. Thank you.
Lon, it is really great to have you on today's show. And I know there's some exciting things going on in your life. You had told me that the book was picked up again and will now be published. And give us a little bit of insight on that.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about it. We went to a second edition not too long ago, and the book continues to sell really well. And John Wiley and Sons contacted me about 2 weeks ago and said that they want to pick up the option for actually doing a third edition and for kind of pushing it out across the world and even more places. We're English, Spanish, Korean, and we just recently, believe it or not, released a book on social media in Chinese. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's really almost an oxymoron of sorts, because the Chinese, being a communist country and really doesn't adapt well to communications amongst the ranks and social media and what have you, I think that's really interesting and possibly even just more towards the sign of the times. That's great, and congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and we're about ready to sign my next bestseller. It's called Fuse, with an exclamation point, and it's fusion marketing, something that no one has ever thought of before. And I can't wait to get this book out, because it's a brand new marketing concept.
Well, that sounds exciting, and certainly I look forward to learning more about that as you're able to let the cat out of the bag, if you would.
Okay, yeah, even though we haven't signed, I think we can sneak a little bit out.
Okay.
You want to try that now?
Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's kind of, I was doing some consulting for a company, and what they said was they weren't quite understanding social media. And because I explained to them, there was about 20 different categories. Everybody thinks they've done Facebook and Twitter, and because they've done Facebook and Twitter, yeah, boy, they totally got social media down pat. But that's not the case. It took 800 pages in my book to define what social media is and all of the different outlets. So after a while, he kind of glazed over and said, you know what, I need a visual. I'm a visual learner. Can you create a picture of social media? So I remember quite a few of them from the internet. Wasn't really happy with any of them. So I went back to my office and took it on as a challenge, which I often do, and that's how I come up with my best ideas. And I created a wheel, kind of a starburst, and I started with traditional, and I took each of 20 major traditional advertising campaigns that we do, everything from direct mail to print ads, radio, television, business cards, anything that we do to actually get our message out. I put them on each of these spokes of the wheel. And then all of a sudden this moment of inspiration came, And I looked at business cards, and I drew a line across to telephone. Well, of course, our telephone number's on our business cards. We have a formula for creating business cards, and we all follow it. But then I looked, and I said, okay, website, is that on your business card? Well, that took us a decade to figure out that our business, our website should be on our business card. Then I drew a line to email. Okay, that's there too. But then I said, well, wait a minute. What if, like for our summit that's coming up next week, if we just printed a specific set of business cards and on the back of the cards had all the information and maybe even a discount, why not? Business cards, you can get 1,000 of them nowadays actually for free or for as little as $6. And we never think of that. We think business cards once or twice a year or sometimes once every 2 years. But what if we actually use business cards to promote our online events? What if we put a link or a QR barcode on our business card where you can download our product brochure or you can or our service brochure? Or what if we had a QR barcode or a web address with a coupon or so, to drive us to the website to find out more about franchising? And all of a sudden, I started seeing these connections that I've never thought of before. And then I was like, okay, well, what if I took my website and connected it, made sure that on my website I had a link to my product brochure and a coupon and my upcoming speaking events and webinars. And when I started making these cross connections across this wheel, I started realizing that we don't think that way. And I started making those changes in my marketing, and I saw a 34% increase in conversion. It was staggering. Then I took each of those wheels, believe it or not, and I turned them upright into a three-dimensional ball and started connecting them three-dimensionally. My marketing went insane. It's absolutely phenomenal for no additional expense. And that's basically what the book is about, how to do that.
Well, that really sounds fascinating, and I really look forward to reading it. When do they anticipate it being published?
We're talking about January 1st for Fuse Marketing and March 1st for the third edition of the Social Media Bible.
Awesome. Well, next week, as I said, is the Franchise Social Media Summit, and we're really pleased that you chose and agreed to participate, Lon. And, you know, it's also the right in smack in the middle of Social Media Week, which is an international event. And of course, the Franchise Social Media Summit is just franchising's way of doing its part for Social Media Week. And, you know, Joe and I have had numerous guests on Franchise Today that have come in and talked about franchising and talked about social media. We've had some leading legal minds on, one of them being Lee Plave, who will also be a speaker on the event next week. And we also had Jonathan Redgrave talk about social media and e-discovery. And so it's really been a fascinating ongoing topic. And Joe, I know I still have you on the line with us. And we're often amazed at some of the different things that our guests come up with and share with us. And I know you and I were kind of both shocked when Jonathan Redgrave told us back in, I guess it was earlier this year, maybe in April or May, when he said that every tweet is being archived by the Library of Congress.
Yeah, it was fascinating. And and I don't think Jonathan meant to scare anybody. I think his main purpose in bringing that up was, within the context of the conversation, was about the regulatory nature of franchise sales and compliance. And he wasn't proposing that people not do social media. He was proposing that people do it with cognizant of the fact that this stuff lasts forever and that you do have to put business practices in place. And it's important to, you know, follow the rules of franchising, but also to be able to use this as a tool. And he was promoting social media, not dampening enthusiasm.
Sure, absolutely. And Lon, you know, reading the Social Media Bible, and it does sit on my desk, and I refer to it quite often and have referred to it a couple of times in articles. I specifically really love the Ten Commandments of social media, which I recently reproduced on the Franchise Essentials site. You know, but, you know, looking back to this, you know, a Bible of sorts is really the guideline. It's the backbone. It's what people should follow. And with that in mind, you know, how important, in your opinion, is social media to business today?
Oh, it's absolutely critical, and that's how I got involved in it. As you mentioned in my bio, I formed 14 companies in my career, and when I heard about social media going back, well, geez, it's got to be close to 5 years ago, I was really curious because I always wanted to stay on the cutting edge of any kind of marketing for my businesses. I'm currently CEO of 3 companies right now, and when I saw it, I recognized it as a disruptive technology. I knew that it was going to stick around. I knew that it was going to impact us, and it didn't let me down. Over the last 5 years, we've seen it infiltrate into every business, whether it's a franchisee, whether it's using geo-targeted advertising to get people into your franchises, whether it's a nonprofit, for-profit, Fortune 500 company, one-person individual entrepreneurial company, government agencies, education. Everybody can benefit from the tools of social media, and it couldn't have come at a better time. This is one of the worst recessions, thank God we're coming out of it, that I've seen in my lifetime. And I've seen several recessions, but social media, the actual implementation is 100% free. It just requires a little bit of time. So for medium-sized, small business franchise, it couldn't have come at a better time because the implementation is 100% free, and it's more effective than any marketing we've ever done.
Yeah, it really has been fascinating, and it certainly is a valuable tool as more and more people are getting accustomed to it, adapting to it, and, of course, more importantly, embracing it. And, you know, what would your comment be to, you know, people that, business people that say to you, you know, well, on, you know, it just seems like this is a fad, this is something I could do without. I mean, what would your comment back to them be?
Well, you know, and I hear that an awful lot. I'm not going to mention the name of the company. It was a Fortune 500 company, and it was a CEO. And he looked me right in the face. He says, you know, I'm just not really into that Facebook stuff. And I had a laugh. And I said, don't take offense to this, but marketing isn't about you. It's about your customers. It's not a fad. It's not going away. When you have 750 million people participating in Facebook, you know what? It's probably going to stick around a while. When you have 200 million people participating on Twitter with 1 million tweets a day, you know what? It's probably not going to dry up and go away. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that social media is still media. It's not really that much different than traditional media other than it's two-way communication. Some of the rules have changed. And most companies don't understand that you have to take all the social media tools and completely and thoroughly integrate them with your traditional media. As I mentioned earlier, cross-pollinating between social media and traditional media. So then the question becomes, should I be doing any marketing at all? Well, of course, and social media is part of that. So you have a responsibility to be there for your customers.
Absolutely. And, Joe, you and I have had umpteen hours of discussions about franchisors and franchisees alike adapting to social media and the necessity. But, of course, being able to do so or you should do so with respect to best practices and do so in an ethical manner. And I know next week when we're on the Franchise Social Media Summit, you'll be talking in the franchise sales track in the afternoon. So it should be very enlightening as to what people participating in the summit will walk away with because so many of them have yet to embrace social media. And I know you talk with a lot of franchisors just like I do as well. And what's some of your feedback with respect to how franchisors and franchisees are adapting to social media today?
Well, and I'd like to hear what Lon's opinion of what I'm about to say is. I think that many franchisors are struggling with social media. And it's not that they're not excited about it, And some of the people I know that are struggling are people that were early adopters that did not get the results that they thought they would get, and they didn't think it was going to require as much time as they found it did require. And I think the areas that they struggle in are three main areas, maybe two areas, one with a subset. First is on the franchise sales and recruitment side. They really have not been able to unlock the power of social media in generating new franchisees, recruiting new franchisees. It's been elusive. The second part of it is how do they manage the consumer proposition, the B2C aspect of social media within a franchise structure? And should they be, their social media policy, should they be controlling everything? Is the marketing department going to pump out all of the promotional stuff, the offers and so on? Or are you going to have both have franchisees do it? And simple things just about naming conventions within, say, Facebook or Twitter for their franchisees. How do they do it? What do they let the franchisees do? So it's kind of those three areas, the franchise recruitment, the overall B2C proposition, and how do I get my franchisees involved and to what degree?
So what do you think, Lon?
I think those are excellent points. And if you look at most of the franchisors out there, they're doing okay, but they're not doing great. They're kind of missing the mark. I mean, if you take the top, let's just take the top five franchises in Facebook. You got McDonald's running at about 8 million friends, likes. You got Buffalo Wild Wings coming up number two, Subway, Pizza Hut, and Dunkin' Donuts. Those are the top five on Facebook. And they're doing an okay job. But if you look at a McDonald's at about 7,600,000, that doesn't compare to somebody like Kraft Foods, for example. They have 183 different brands. One of them is Oreo Cookies. Oreo Cookies just broke 19 million fans, and that's a brand. I mean, that would be like just 19 million fans for Big Mac. So while a lot of the franchisors are out there dabbling, some are doing a pretty good job, I think that they need to focus a little bit more on it and put more resources into it. And yes, it's going to require resources. It's marketing. The second opinion is that the franchisors have a responsibility to help do the overall national marketing for the franchisees. I mean, they're the ones that pay for the prime time commercials. You know, they're the ones that take out the ads in the New York Times. They really have got to take on also a lot of the responsibility for the social media projection, for the Facebook pages, for the master Twitter account. And I think that they need to develop some really detailed guidelines for where the franchisees fit in, because social media isn't just about marketing internationally on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. We're also talking about geo-targeted advertising such as Foursquare and Yelp and Groupon, and that's where the franchisees could get very active and increase their revenues by understanding that. So it's a matter of wrapping their brain around it, understanding whose responsibility it is to do the national advertising, the national management of the brand, and then, of course, the franchisees need to understand that they can handle the local geo-targeted advertising. And I think if they just develop better guidelines and showed the franchisees how to build their local business and paid a little bit more attention to the national, I think they'd be quite successful at it.
Well, Lon, I'm happy you said that, because that means that we agree, and it makes the show a whole lot better.
There we go. I didn't know what was going to happen with that.
I think you're describing something that is lacking in franchising, going back to Paul's original question of what am I hearing from franchisors, and what's my opinion of what I hear, and it's a lack of leadership in terms of what does social media mean to the company. From a consumer proposition, and again on the franchise recruitment side of it, they absolutely don't know at all what they're looking for in terms of a social media benefit, a social media result, other than we want to sell more franchises, but the how is kind of lacking.
The Where's
intervening
the strategy?
Steps of I'm in social media and I got a franchise sale.
You know, Lon, you brought up a good point with respect to a good way to help franchisees and, you know, work towards the local marketing and geo-specific. And of course, we've all heard by this point about Foursquare. And I heard an astonishing fact not too long ago, because I work with a franchise client who the target audience are basically moms. And they said moms with school-age children are spending 7.3 hours a day on their smartphone, which is really just an astonishing fact in my mind. And with respect to that, I mean, it just shows the importance of geospecific marketing, such as through Foursquare, because they're on their phone all the time. And obviously, they're not just talking on the phone or tweeting on the phone. They're using it for an assortment of different things, search, communications, email, et cetera. How much further is location-based social media going to grow, in your opinion?
Oh, I think it's going to grow really quite a bit, because it's the thing that's awesome about it, if you're a geo-targeted company, if you have a McDonald's, Burger King, Dunkin' Donuts, I mean, most franchises are geo-targeted. You're limited to whatever that draw is, 21, 22, 23 miles or whatever. You're geo-targeted. So you really, as a franchisee, have to focus on those geo-targeted tools. When you get companies like Facebook dumping hundreds of millions of dollars into geo-targeted advertising, Facebook and McDonald's in particular have put together an alliance so that if you have that function on your cell phone, your smartphone turned on, you can be driving down the street and your cell phone will beep and it says, hey, you just drove past the McDonald's. Come on back and we'll give you some free fries with that Big Mac. I mean, you know, that's pretty powerful. If I got that at lunchtime or even I had the mid-afternoon hungries, you know what, I'll pull a U-turn and come back and get something, especially because I can get something for free. But it's the most effective kind of advertising because you're targeting your actual demographic when they're geographically close to your location. Bring them in. And then with all of the other things where you can see that your friends are already there, or you could do a meetup and invite your friends to a franchisee, geez, that's amazing. So I think we're going to find a lot of new applications, and Google and Facebook are going to be dumping more and more millions into it.
Right.
Hey, Lon, Lon, this is Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
Question, you know, getting away from the more popular brands and outside of the QSR realm, what do you say to the franchisor that has less than 200 units, and they're in a service-type business? They might be a Roto-Rooter-type franchise or some other plumbing franchise or a clean-your-house or a lawn service.
Sure.
You know, not that sexy. It's not an immediate impulse purchase. I mean, people typically eat lunch every day, but they don't change maids, and they don't have their sewer line Roto-Rootered every day.
Right. And that's a great observation, those service people. Again, keep in mind that we're always talking about the buying funnel. The something for lunch, you know that your buying funnel is going to get you down to the purchase part of that buying funnel around noon every day. So that's how you can define that. And just like you said, yeah, maybe the buying funnel for changing maids, yard care people, or having your toilet pumped is going to be a much longer cycle. The beautiful part about social media is you have the opportunity to keep your brand in front of those customers continuously. I send out 3 tweets a day, Monday through Friday. Every day, Monday through Friday, 3 tweets come out with good content information that my followers probably never thought of, because I do social media as a full-time job. So what other medium can you use where you can touch your potential clients and convert your prospects, where you can put your brand in front of them 3 times a day, 5 days every week, every month after month? So the first thing I would do with that type of a company, I would make sure that a lot of my customers, I would offer specials till they came out of your ears to get your customers to talk highly about them on Yelp. I found my last dentist. I found my last restaurant on Yelp. It's peer-to-peer review. I would get serious about Groupon. We went to a restaurant that we never even heard of because we got a 2-for-1, and we're going to go back. So they're using these tools are going to get your customers in and get your brand in front of them so that as they move through the buying funnel, they're going to be thinking of you when it comes time to buy.
One, another best-selling author, Eric Qualman, who wrote Socialnomics, was quoted as saying, social media ROI is still being in business 5 years from now. What's your take on social media return on investment?
Well, and I get that a lot, especially from the Fortune 500 companies, because they look at me and they say, social media marketing, where's the ROI? And then the first thing I say is, do you have a cell phone? And, of course, they say yes. And it's not cheap, is it? You probably got the data package and everything. Yeah, of course. Can you tell me, give me a number. What's the ROI on that? Okay, then I got deer in headlights, and that kind of sets the stage for the rest of the conversation. You can't be without your cell phone. Well, let's talk about the ROI of social media marketing. Take the word social media out of it and ask me that question again. Should I be doing marketing? And really, it's just that silly because social media is a phenomenally effective set of marketing tools that need to be combined with your traditional marketing. The next question I get is, how much money should I be spending on social media? How much investment should I put into social media marketing? And I look them right in the face and I say, take the word social media out of it again and ask again, how much money should I be spending on marketing? And, of course, the answer is as much as you can, and especially with social media because of the incredibly low cost or no cost of implementation. So when you have no cost of implementation and you are generating brand awareness, brand engagement, and you're generating more revenue, you're dividing by zero, so your ROI is infinite. And usually at about that point, we change subjects.
You know, Jack Monson of Engage One-to-One, also a speaker on next week's Franchise Social Media Summit. I remember on his blog, a PR Workbench, I believe, he once put that, you know, social media was no different than a telephone. And I hear you saying the same thing. It's a communications tool. Obviously, it's one in that needs to be integrated with all the other marketing in order to be optimally effective. So it seems like there's a lot of consistency there. Where do you see the future of social media? How is it going to evolve? What can we expect?
Well, and that's a great question because it is going to evolve. I mean, I've been around long enough. I'm 56, and I've been around to watch the entire computer industry spring up out of nowhere and then evolve through the 80s and 90s and into the 2000s. And if you have been around long enough to see that, you're going to see a lot of the same trends. You're going to see, just as we've seen now, you got two big leaders. You got Facebook and you got Google. When you're pulling in $17 to $20 million, $1 billion a year in advertising, those are going to be the big players. That is the Apple and Microsoft that of the 80s. So we're going to see a lot of competition between them. We're going to see them continuously knocking off each other's features and benefits. We're going to see each of them stealing from others. I think Facebook announced this week that they just released their Twitter-like function within Facebook, IM messaging. So we're going to see kind of an amalgam of the big guys kind of grabbing all of the smaller guys' feature benefits, either by redeveloping them or by strategic partnering the way Facebook strategic partnered with Foursquare for the geo-targeted. The other thing is that we're all facing already social media burnout. I mean, it does take time. It takes me a heck of a lot of time, and there's some weeks that I can spend the entire 40 hours a week just dealing with my social media presence. Now, I don't recommend that unless, of course, you have a budget where you can put somebody on that, and then in that case, I strongly recommend it. So we're going to see, like, page aggregators. For example, I go into Hootsuite, and when I post a tweet, it automatically goes to Twitter, it gets pasted on my Facebook wall, and it gets pasted in LinkedIn automatically with just one click. So what we're going to see is more of that, where basically you can log into your Google, probably Google Plus page, and manage all of your social networks right from one location, just to kind of keep it simple. And the first company that comes out with that and then has contextual advertising associated with it, they're the ones that are going to win.
Yeah, I believe so. You know, Joe, we talk a lot about, obviously, franchising and social media It seems almost incessantly at times, and we talk about the different things that are posted out there. And I know in the upcoming Franchise Social Media Summit, your segment is going to be about, you know, content and how content is king. How much do you believe franchisors truly believe that social media can work in their franchise environment? Joe? I guess we lost Joe.
You have to unmute your phone before you start talking.
Oh, there you go.
And,
sound much better.
The technological thing, and what I said was brilliant, but now you'll never hear it because I've already forgotten what I just said. I think that franchisors are generally perennial optimists, and they love new technologies, especially people in franchise sales. They want every new thing, new gimmick, new program, new technology to be able to sell more franchises. But I think that they are truly, truly stymied with social media. They see it. They see the interconnectedness of it. They see the opportunity to distribute content. But in talking with a franchisor that I was doing some consulting with about this very subject of social media and franchise sales, they were frustrated that they weren't getting more leads and they were spending a lot of time. And I asked them, well, you know, who are you going after? And I got a deer in the headlights kind of look at them. Well, I'm not sure. We want people that are fine. They rattled off, well, they have to have this much liquidity, they have to have this much of a net worth, and they have to have a sweet disposition and have to love to work with people. Well, I don't know who that is. That's a lot of people. And what really became apparent is that they didn't have a profile or they didn't have a series of profiles of the types of people from an attitudinal aspect and from a financial aspect or even a professional aspect after. So what they lack is a focus on who they want to get to. And when you have a technology that allows you to pinpoint people in a geography, pinpoint people even in a specific profession, pinpoint people where they hang out and talk about the topics that are interesting to them, it should be relatively easy. But you first and foremost have to know what the profile is. And I think that is shining a bright light on franchisors saying, geez, we really have to do some remedial work in terms of what kind of franchisees we're looking for. And maybe we ought to start with looking at who do we have.
Well put.
Forming that.
You know, and I think that lends towards, you know, obviously some strategic planning and strategy development. And Lon, and I think this is where, to some extent, some people are confused. And let me explain. You and Jack Monson and myself believe that, you know, social media is a communications tool, okay? We refer to the telephone, we refer to the cell phone. But yet, how many people have a strategy to use the telephone? Because now we understand that we really need a social media strategy. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, I completely agree, and I love what Joe just said, is that if you don't know who your demographic is, how are you going to market to them? I mean, that's kind of marketing 101. And to use a more generic term rather than franchisees, I get the question all the time. I'm a B2B company, business to business. I'm not a B2C, so social media really doesn't do any good. Oh, my gosh, don't ever say that, OMG, because it's a great tool for B2B. Just like you said, if I was trying to sell a franchise, the first thing I would do is I'd get on LinkedIn, I'd start a group. There's some groups out there that are 100,000 strong. And talk about your franchise. Talk about the opportunities. Talk about the challenges. That's what people want to see. And when they're on LinkedIn and they're typing in those keywords, they're going to find that group. They're going to get engaged in that conversation. And if they are sweet disposition, loaded with money, ready to purchase a franchise, it's going to be your franchise they're going to purchase. So it's really easy to target those types of demographics. But you got to know what the demographic is first, and then create specific watering holes for, just like this radio show. You know who your demographic is. This is an amazing resource. If I was a franchisee or a franchisor, I would listen to you every single time and replay it. You created a watering hole, and that's what they need to do.
Yeah, I often refer to it as Joe mentioned about, you know, where they, you know, where they're communicating, hanging out. I would often say, you know, where they are communicating and congregating online. Because too often than not, we've signed franchisors, come up with a strategy, and they get ready to launch it, and they actually launch it and say, you know, it's like shouting into an empty hole, know what's going on, it's not working, and find out their target audience is something completely different than they thought, or maybe they even haven't even taken the time to figure out who they're speaking to. You know, we keep getting bombarded with new things. I know I came up with a Facebook page called Google for Franchises only out of a necessity for myself. I was having a hard time keeping up with everything Google that was coming down the pike. I was trying to figure out where to store this information, where I could reach for it. I thought about, you know, setting up files. Didn't want to set up any more files. Do I put it up in the cloud? Do I throw it up into Google Docs? And I said, hey, great, I could use it for multiple purposes by putting it on Facebook, and then it becomes a resource for my clients and other franchise organizations that are out there.
Perfect.
But with so many things coming down the pipe, what's your recommendation if somebody just sticking their foot in the water to get started so that they're not overwhelmed? What are the first steps an organization should take?
Well, I kind of narrow it down in one of my keynotes. I spend quite a bit of time talking about what I call the trinity of social media. And it's really just three basic things. It's blogging, microblogging, and social networks. If you can do these three things, you get 90% of everything you need to do on the Internet, and it's something that you can wrap your brain around. The first is blogging. Blogging is incredibly important for lots of reasons. One, it sets you up as an industry thought leader. It gives you Google juice, and it gives you link love. And let me explain why. As you create these blogs, you're writing down why people should buy a franchise, why it's a good investment, why it's going to secure your future, why it's exciting. The same things that you would tell me if you and I were having a beer at a cocktail event, a business event. Just tell me what you would tell the person at that event, why they should get involved, why they should pick your franchise, because people will find it, and that will be useful, interesting information. So you get these pages out there, and that's the next thing. You get Google juice. Google juice is the number of pages that Google indexes for keywords, particular keywords. So, for example, if you went to look at how many pages are indexed for Lon Safko, luckily I'm Lon Safko, not John Smith, or I'd be screwed, because that'd be a hard name to market. But right now, I think the last time I checked, it was 141,000 pages, either web pages or blogs that talk about me. Any company would kill for that kind of Google juice. And to give you an example, a practical example, Inc. magazine just interviewed me on the subject of social media. And at the end of the article, the interview, I asked them, I said, why did you pick me? And he said, every time I typed in the word social media, yours was the only name that came up. Cha-ching! That's what I'm shooting mm-hmm. for. And then you get something called link love, and that's external blogs and web pages linking back into you. You do that, and your franchise is at the top of the search engines. You're going to be above the fold, and you're probably going to end up in the top three for your industry keywords. And it didn't cost you anything. So that's blogging. Microblogging is Twitter. Twitter isn't just about your followers. Size doesn't matter. Quality matters. So when you tweet something out, if it has good content, and you're tweeting it out to, say, 10,000 different followers, they each have 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 of their own. So you literally could reach 1 million people in just a couple of minutes, and it's 100% free. And it's only 140 characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last part is social networks. You have to be on LinkedIn. Your officers have to be on LinkedIn. You have to have a representative actually working LinkedIn. It's the most respected online contact database in the world with 200 million participants. you know what? That's worth participating in. You need to have a Facebook page. And you need to be on any other social network you can think of, like MySpace. Well, everybody says MySpace is dead. Well, you know what? Justin Timberwolf there just bought it, and he's going to breathe some life into it. And even if he doesn't, there's still 200 million people, and it doesn't cost anything to have a presence. So, you know, like, what are you thinking? You need to participate in blogging, microblogging, and those social networks, and you got it.
Joe, any thoughts?
All of what Lon's saying are absolute truths, and any franchise executive that chooses to ignore it does it at their own peril. And at the same time, what he said brings to mind is once you find out what your profile is, or your profiles of prospective franchisees are, it enables you to serve up content that engages them. And one of the things that I discovered doing a research project when I was chief development officer at a franchisor was that once we determined who the profiles were or what the profiles were and who the people were, we were able to uncover a latent affinity. And social media is one of the most perfect tools that I know of to be able to engage within a particular group, a cohort group, and tell them about what you're doing and have engaging stories about or engaging articles about what your business is about, and they will begin to see themselves, you know, that's something that I could do. It wasn't something in the forefront of their mind. They weren't thinking I could be a franchisee of XYZ brand. But when they found out more about it and what the attributes were and maybe who some of the other franchisees were and what their backgrounds are, they will, you know, discover, they'll self-select, and that latent affinity will be uncovered.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I agree completely. If you guys are listening to this recording and it's pre-recorded, play it back and listen to what Joe just said again, because it's worth listening to twice. He's absolutely right.
Yes, absolutely. Lon, next week, you know, we'll be on the show or on the event Franchise Social Media Summit 2011, and you'll be our keynote speaker at the noon hour. We've been talking about the summit now for about 6 weeks. I reached out to you, and I'm really honored that you accepted, and I look forward to working with you on the summit, as well as additional events in the future, and look forward to a long relationship. With respect to the summit, you've had a lot of time to grasp it, a lot of time to really get introduced to the various speakers, to the event itself, to the topics. What are some of your overall thoughts about the upcoming summit?
Well, you know what, and I'm not pandering. I'm really excited about it, and I think I sent you an email earlier this week. First of all, as you said earlier, this is Social Media Week, the week that you do the summit. There's no better way than to kick off the subject matter of the International Week for the franchisors and franchisees. I think that's awesome. The other thing I'm excited about is that there's still so many national conferences that are held in geographic locations. I spend most of my time flying to Orlando, and next week I'm off to Pittsburgh and then Rochester, New York, and then up to Las Vegas. You know, I love the idea that we're talking about social media. Let's use the best tools that social media has to provide us and actually create an amazing summit using those tools. So it's going to be a virtual summit, which I think is cool because I love webinars. People don't have to leave their offices. There's no travel time. There's no expenses. And I looked at that roster, and I got a chance to meet many of your speakers. Truly and honestly, I'm proud to be associated with those speakers. I mean, those are the best, most experienced people in this industry. So, you know, if you don't come to listen to me, you got to come to this conference, this summit, and listen to those other speakers. And you just heard Joe over the last hour. You can see the insights that he's going to bring. So I'm going to be sure to stick around to listen to Joe. I've already learned things from Joe.
Well, we really believe in the summit. The response has been beyond our initial projections. We have really received tremendous response from international markets, and I think right now we have registrants from you know, obviously North America and Canada, the United States and Canada. We have them in Europe, the UK, Sweden, and Italy. We have some registrants from Asia, specifically out of India, and I think we have one from Japan, Australia, South America. Brazil seems to have had a bunch of people that have expressed interest, of course, up into Mexico. And, you know, the fact that it is a virtual event really opens the door for all those people that obviously wouldn't be able to travel or wouldn't want to travel. It wouldn't be cost-effective for them to travel. Plus, being able to, you know, put together a lineup of great speakers, and including yourself, and obviously there are always budgetary restraints and what have you. And being able to do this in a virtual environment instead of everybody having to get on a plane and get there the day before and spend a night in a hotel and a second night in a hotel and a third night in a hotel, and also for participants, time away from work and travel time and the day of the event. It's just everything leads towards virtual being the economic way to go. And then, of course, on top of it, we will be recording the event, and the registrants will be able to get a copy of it, as well as my new ebook, which will be given to all participants the day of the event, which is Social Media Basics and Beyond. Certainly not of the magnitude of the Social Media Bible, but I think I have we have a lot of the same philosophies, Lon. And I even chuckled, and I know Joe chuckled too, when you said the trinity of social media, because I've also used the social media, or actually said the digital holy trinity. So we refer to a lot of the same things, which I believe the digital holy trinity is search, social media, and mobile marketing.
Yes.
And, you know, talking about mobile marketing, you know, how important is it for franchisors and their franchisees to integrate their social media with mobile marketing?
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up. We have a couple of minutes to discuss it, because mobile marketing is going to be the fastest growing marketing segment of any marketing segment. As fast as television and newspapers are declining, mobile's going to increase. And the reason is that the rest of the world is about 2 to 3 years ahead of us in the United States, believe it or not. And the reason is because of our affluence. And when I do live keynotes, I say, how many people here have a desktop? And everybody raises their hand. How about a laptop? Everybody raises their hand. Broadband? Everybody raises their hand. Smartphones? About 80% of the people raise their hand. And then I say, now, if I ask those same questions in Africa, South America, Soviet Union, or now the Russian countries, parts of Europe, nobody would raise their hand, because we can afford all of that because we live in the greatest country on earth. That's cool, but everyone else in the rest of the world are using smartphones. 80% of all financial transactions are taking place on smartphones. That's everything from buying gas to buying a pack of gum to even paying for their rent. So the first thing you got to do, if you're a franchisor or a franchisee, is make sure that your website is 100% compatible with a telephone, with a smartphone, that it's browser capable. Go look at it. That's a real simple thing to do. Grab a smartphone, go to the browser, and type in your URL. And if it's not, fix it, because more and more and more people are just going to be using smartphones. It's going to be the fastest growing segment. And you need to understand QR barcodes, quick response barcodes. They're free, they're easy to use, and it actually connects the real world, the printed material, with the virtual world. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google QR barcode, and you'll be surprised how incredibly powerful those things are.
Yeah, they really are. Joe, as we're closing in on the top of the hour, we have about 6 minutes left. Do you have any last quick questions for Lon, or parting comments?
Well, I think a parting comment would be that the Franchise Social Media Summit is not to be missed by franchise executives. There's not going to be an environment that you're going to get as much value from these speakers and tools and strategies and tactics that you can actually use. And you would be doing yourself a disfavor by not participating. I'm excited. I can't wait to listen to what Lon has to say. I can't wait to listen to what the other speakers have to say. I know I'm going to learn stuff. I mean, I've already learned stuff on this episode of Franchise Today. So I can't be more emphatic and enthusiastic about people participating in the Franchise Social Media Summit.
Yeah, and certainly, as everyone knows all too well, I am very entrenched in franchise social media, and I, too, learn things every time we have guests on our show, and certainly have learned a lot today in talking with Lon and getting to know Lon over the last few weeks. Lon, it's really been my honor to be working closely with you on this and look forward to a long relationship and friendship. Do you have any parting comments before we hit the top of the hour?
Yeah, I just got to say the same thing. I'm hoping on everyone, especially franchisor executives, definitely. You want to learn more about how to sell more franchises, then you need to learn more about the most powerful marketing tool that has ever been created, and you're going to hear it from probably the best team that is hand-selected to bring that information. So, again, I'm really proud to be part of it, and I'm glad to meet you guys. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing this. Let's do some more of this. Let's next time you got an opportunity, let's talk about Fuse marketing, or let's talk about the top 50 questions why executives don't want to get involved. I'm happy to help any way I can. I'm really proud to be associated with you guys.
I really appreciate it, Lon, and I look forward to talking with you next week during the summit. Joe, why don't you remind our listeners again of the upcoming shows on Franchise Today?
Well, we have John Gordon next week. And he's going to be talking about franchisee unit economics in the QSR realm and profitability for franchisees and what franchisors need to do to have a winning strategy in having the franchisees be successful and in recruiting more franchisees. And then we have Ben Letalian the following week discussing social franchising and why it makes sense for franchisors to work with nonprofits, sell franchises to nonprofits, and how it can be financially beneficial to their bottom line and also be socially conscious and have a benefit to their overall brand and to groups of people that actually do need help.
Well, I mean, I think we're off to a great start on our third season of Franchise Today. I value you as the co-producer on the show, and obviously would not be able to do this without you. You really bring some great guests and content and topics to Franchise Today. And, of course, it is good to be back after this summer break and get back into the swing of things. But I do want to remind everyone that all Franchise Today segments are available on demand at blogtalkradio.com/franchisetodayshow. And specifically, I'd like to point you back to our first and second annual the Legal Franchise Series, where this year we had 7 segments. Last year we had 4. That's 11 compelling topics and some great shows that Joe put together. And like I said, I'm looking forward to this third season, especially the legal series that'll come up again in the spring. And of course, if all our listeners have any suggestions with respect to topics, with respect to guests on the show, please be sure to send them to myself or to Joe Caruso. Joe, right? Franchise Appreciation Day.
Yes.
Yeah, it was yesterday in Washington. And the standing event was very good. We got some good events coming up on the franchise forward. We've got the Franchise Leadership Conference coming up in October in Atlanta. We've got the West Coast Franchise Expo coming up in November. We've got the Franchise Expo South coming up in January. Great to be in the leading into the fourth quarter in franchising, which is an exciting time. Well, again, until next week, when we'll be back on here at the same time, 11 a.m. My name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best in this thing we lovingly call franchising. Franchise Today is out.